So the first thing we like to do is identify that I've got the right band.
Yeah.
So would you please identify yourselves in any way, shape, or form?
We're two-thirds of We Are Scientists. My name's Chris.
Hello, Chris.
How are you?
I'm fabulous. And how are you?
I'm fine. I'm good. I'm Michael.
Good. It's a start.
That should be punctuated with semicolons.
Semicolons.
Never ends up being written out.
Yes, yes. So before we get to the music, I want to start with your website, as others have, and I've read in interviews, but come on, reviews.
A lot of people don't get past the website.
Reviews of bathroom sinks, I did, scarily. Bathroom sinks and nightclubs, it had me laughing. And I did read in that interview that you are a website first and a band second, so I've got another question that no one's asked you, which is who's on third?
Well, I think, see, your answer is contained within the question, man. Just look closer. That's all I'll say. I don't want to kick off, 2 hours of misunderstanding.
Okay. And on your, I'm just going to get the easy stuff out of the way. Now, your MySpace site, you've got a club date for December 31st, 2007, and say you're always on tour. So I'm just curious what club and what city you would be playing on December 31st, 2007.
We've left that open-ended. All we know is that we are definitely playing that night.
You are booked.
Yeah, we're booked.
So don't try to book us unless you want to offer a lot of money.
Which by then, by December 31st, 2007, after the album has sold millions upon millions of units, it's going to be a lot more money than it would be, say, right now in this beautiful room we're in with these leopard skin things.
If you made your offer now, you could lock us down for a pretty paltry sum, but you're susceptible to outbidding later on. So
this is kind of like, so this is like eBay. So basically your booking agent is eBay.
Our booking agent is a calculator that we actually, in the olden days, we would have simply used a small scale and we would have weighed offers that way. But with the current monetary representations, that doesn't work. So we have to use a calculator.
Boy, that was deep.
Thank you. It was actually a very...
Halfway through, I thought, laundry! Let's see, darks and whites.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot there, and you missed it.
It was pretty special. You think rock and roll has lost its sense of humor? I mean, there were a lot of bands. You talked about different eras, right? And there were the Tubes, and, Electric Six has sort of tried to do it, except that they really haven't succeeded at it.
Well,
I don't think it's supposed to be anything. It can be fun. It can be serious. And it can be both.
I would also say that serious in the way you're using it, i.e. not comedic, can still be fun, I would say. I mean, you look at a band, there's nothing funny about U2, but I think that people who like U2 probably have fun. I do think that whether a band is funny or not, there is, I would agree, a very rich tradition in rock and roll of not taking yourself too seriously.
Second you do, you lose, You really do.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree with that. I think we've come to a détente on this issue.
A détente. Yeah. You have 44,712 friends on MySpace as of last night. Have you met them all?
Yes, we can actually. We're one of the few bands that can say we've met every last one, and we actually keep up pretty closely with all of them.
We don't add anyone.
Who's your favorite?
Probably Timmy T.
Oh, Timmy, I love. He's on MySpace. He's on mine too.
I know. That's how we actually met him. We were sort of cherry picking your friends, and we invited Timmy T.
I have 44,000. I have 40. I don't even have 40. Oh man, I'm gonna get sad now. I'm gonna have 44. Oh man. Could you define advanced high-level sectional articulation for my audience, please?
Well, it's really a lot more complicated than it sounds. I mean, it's...
I'm feeding him questions. We'll get serious in a few minutes, but I just have to get the openers here.
Yeah. Well, the idea is just that we try to keep the music interesting for ourselves by playing, as far away from each other instrumentally as possible during the song.
Well... Not as possible.
Not as possible.
Because
while retaining the soul of the music.
We're still playing the same song.
We want it to be a sweet pop tune, and we will not compromise the sweet poppiness of a tune by getting too far away from each other.
But we're just trying to eliminate too much redundancy.
Department of Redundancy Department.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so with that level of intelligence, at least one of you must be a real scientist.
Actually, Michael is an engineer.
So that's close enough.
Come on, close enough. He's a scientist. Bona fide.
Bona fide. Okay, so serious answer. What did you all do before you formed a band? Because, you know, the thing about, I do a lot of research for these interviews. And
but not that much.
Well, no, I did a ton, but there's nothing there, so I had to make it up, damn it. You guys have succeeded in all of your bios and everything of not having given one intelligent kernel of information that allows me to sound anywhere near like I did research here.
I would say...
I'm proud of that, by the way.
I would say you're conflating intelligent with accurate. And we give a lot of intelligent information, but rarely...
It's just not accurate.
Rarely is it historically accurate, yeah. We all worked normal, like, 9-to-5 type jobs for really since we graduated from college, believe it or not. Nobody went home to mom's couch after graduation. We all went out into the real world, and if I'm, you know, I'm leaving modesty behind here, but I think in the pursuit of truth, we dominated. We dominated.
He's not going to cut, you don't want to, no.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It's good. Okay, so all kidding aside, you know, I'll try for a second. How did you go over in England and the rest of the world?
Playing the toilet circuit in England sucks about as bad as playing the toilet circuit in the U.S., I think it's less about the crowd than about how many people in the crowd are there and care about you.
Right.
And now the record is not been released. It's been released, what, 2 to 3 months, something like that?
It came out in the U.S. January 10th and most of Europe within a month following. But it came out in the U.K. last October.
So, oh, did it really? Yeah. So it came out first. Yeah. See, isn't that weird how they do that sometimes?
Well, it happened pretty naturally. Pretty innocently, I guess. We just basically started getting popular over there and hit the touring circuit there very hard all summer, last summer, and through the fall. And, you know, as a natural result, our audience built there first.
But that's smart. I mean, more power to the folks at Virgin because that's smart marketing.
Yeah, I think it had less to do with the sort of familiar trope that you can go to the UK and succeed and then parlay that into U.S. success than with the fact that we had actual leads over there. So that, you know, if we had gotten on radio and gotten on the good side of the major print press in Brazil, we would have gone there first. By the same logic, and that, you know, we just were lucky enough to have caught the eye of some big DJs over there, and the enemy was really into us. So
it just that's good because you don't want the enemy to not be into you.
I do feel like England in general is still sort of has a very juvenile weakness for superlatives and for hyperbole that I feel like American culture has
gotten. We've lost it.
Yeah. We've lost it. I feel like we've lost it since 9/11, to be honest. Yeah. So, and it's sort of, it was, you know,
we
announced.
Have to be more serious and responsible
well,
now.
I think it was announced as the death of irony, and I don't think that happened. But right. I do feel like we tend to communicate in a more, logically responsible way. Whereas in the UK, they're still very given to, as you said, you know, just throwing all their chips on one.
And their fish.
And their fish, for that matter.
But I think, you know, to some degree that helps make the scene over there a little more fun than it is over here. Like,
oh, yeah, no, we're boring. You know, our reviews, and, you know, what have we really got left? We've got Spin and Rolling Stone. We've got Online.
Right.
Which is really, it's really exciting. Reading reviews on your computer, that gives you a lot of passion.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing anyway to, like, music that I care about is, like, the online kind of stuff. There's a few good... like paper periodicals. A lot of like music criticism and whatever, like the powers that drive popular, you know, pseudo underground music or whatever you want to call this type of thing. They take things a lot more seriously here and they try to take everything very seriously, which.
The scholarly thing just gets boring after a while.
I appreciate that, you know, for what it is. But it's a lot more fun. To a degree, not that fun is the most important thing.
Have you been written up in the New York Times as, you know, Mr. So-and-so and Mr., because that's, you know...
Mr. Kane, Mr. Murray, things like that.
Kane played a really good...
A show review in the New York Times, and I don't recall whether they used our surnames.
That's worth the price of admission alone, isn't it?
Yeah, do you remember?
I don't think they did.
Maybe John Perales can get away with not doing it.
The guy who wrote the review was like a young guy like our age, and
they let him have a little.
We got written up in the Wall Street Journal, and they did use. In fact, they even used the Messieurs thing.
Wall Street Journal though has gotten hip. So I want to go into the music and the cover.
Color on the personal journal. All okay, that.
So this is very serious because I'm very worried. And we kind of talked about it offline. Okay. Were those rent-a-cats and are they okay?
They were not rent-a-cats. They were our cats. And no, they're not okay. Michael?
They were my cats. I took an astray through some sort of comedy of errors. Then it happened to be pregnant. And it had... I was just going to have it for 2 weeks until someone else could take it. It had those kittens under my bed, 6 kittens. So those weren't all the kittens that lived in my room. My roommate had a dog, so they all lived in my room, and they refused to use the litter box. Uh-oh. And they made my life a living nightmare. So we took those photos. As soon as they were old enough, we got rid of those kittens.
Okay, let's try some songs, some serious, some not. So nobody move, nobody get hurt. What exactly do you want to use your bodies for, and what do you want them to do?
People sometimes think it's like kind of like a kind of a gross sexual type of meaning, like a smarmy type of sexual thing, but it's... I don't think it is at all. I didn't write the lyric, but I know the person who did.
Yeah, lyrically, the lyric has an air of resignation about it, and it's actually being delivered ironically and post 9/11. So that's something.
I'm sorry, I can't be serious for a second, but none of your song titles are over 4 words, so that makes it really easy for people to remember them.
No accident, that.
Yes. Was it really?
An accident?
No. What did you? Are you being now we're in that ether of the interview.
Just about.
We're at that moment.
That was borderline having.
Fun. Right. We're right at that ether in the interview where we just don't know. We've felt each other up. We just don't really know where it's going to go, which is a beautiful, beautiful time. It always puts a smile on my face because you just don't know who's telling the jokes now.
Right.
I was kidding, but I do think actually that you kind of just. Let the songs speak for themselves, and the titles almost become, I don't want to say irrelevant, but I mean, okay, nobody move, nobody get hurt. Well, that had a reference, you know, and most people will miss a lot of that. But I guess what I'm saying is that beyond all of the poppiness and the melody and the joy and all of that, there is a lot in these songs, is what I was really getting at.
Yeah.
In a really dumb sort of way, which I really blew, but oh well.
Yeah.
Won't be the first time.
No. Not in this interview, anyway. I mean, to comment on that, I would say that we, for all of our sort of outsized bullshittery that we put in everything besides the music, our music, we're sort of compulsively, we're very compulsively understated about it. Or I think we have a great fear of being wanky in the way that we are in every other aspect of our career. You know,
right.
Like we're very careful not to come off as wanky in our music, even though that's pretty much our MO with everything else that we touch.
Everything else. So my favorite track is The Great Escape, but I have a confession to make, and I wonder if you just did this to do this to me. So there I am playing it, and of course, there's never been an edited version, and I got about 3/4 of the way through, and that show was pre-taped, and luckily I went to Pro Tools.
Nice.
But now every time I play it, I know exactly where it is, and I've gotten really good just at that moment. Did they ever do, are they going to do an edited version of that? Because that could, I mean, it works beautifully. And actually, without it, it's kind of scary because I don't know what are you going to put in after that that's going to give it quite as much great emphasis at that moment in that pivotal moment in the song. And I'm being serious.
There is a version that's clean. And I think the one that's on U.S. sold CDs is clean.
So my promo, it was
originally supposed to have a sticker, and they said
they put it on the CD with that.
So the brilliance in my promo that Virgin gave me, it's there, baby.
It's there. It's there in the UK. It's there in all of Europe. The thing is,
they gave me an early version or something.
Well, I think all the promos have it on there. But I think they asked us when it was time to print in the US. Is it cool if we do a version that doesn't have, you know, a clean version for Walmart? Basically. And we said that it's there at all.
Which I will now have to bleep out of this interview and we'll put, what word would you like me to put in instead? So say it right now and I'll put it in.
Okay. Forget it.
There you go. And you know what? It'll sound so bad.
I know.
And we said, forget it.
Yeah.
It'll be terrible.
It'll be very nice.
You do have, and I think this is intended, but you have a signature guitar sound in the songs.
Big time.
Is that because you decided to settle in on one? I mean, because it's great, because a lot of the great bands, you know, people get accused of either being, you know, boring,
right.
You know, or, oh my God, they only have one idea.
Right.
Or some of the really great bands, and I will include the Beatles in there,
mm-hmm.
you know, their first couple of albums, there was a definitive sound no matter what the song was.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about, you know, that. Not about the Beatles, but about...
I think for us, you know, musically, a lot of what we're not against, like, a lot of having a lot of gear or using a lot of different types of equipment, but we just don't right now. Like, I think in the...
No, you really are a rock and roll band at this point, for real.
Yeah. I mean, in recent years, we've just been, you know, I play a four-piece kit with just one cymbal. Like,
right.
Just kind of like... a standard basic type of setup. He has one distortion pedal. Keith has a distortion pedal. And
He's been on a 52 reissue Telecaster and his Fender DeVille since we started playing 6 years ago.
Wow.
And it's not because he loves it. I mean, he likes it just fine. But I can attest to the fact that he hasn't looked around. He just, you know, it just does the job and you know.
I think
we're not a huge, like, sound experimentation band.
No.
Because there's not enough of those around anyway.
Right.
Yeah. But so, you know, I don't think it was necessarily, you know, trying to have a signature guitar sound as much as just he has one pedal and the same guitar and same amp. And I think we try to do as much as we can with... As little as we have, you know. And I think that's part of... the thing I heard when I was growing up and first starting to play the drums, you know, somebody said, you know, if you can't rock on a four-piece kit, then
you shouldn't be doing
you shouldn't have you. Then what's the point of having like double bass drum?
Dear Phil Collins.
Yeah.
So I think that's sort of the thing we've been trying to do is just like try to make something interesting with a very simple setup and see if we can do it. It's as like a challenge or something. I guess.
From a recent review. We are scientists, we'll either mutate or die, but in the here and now, there's enough life left in this sound to enjoy it to the last. What else will you enjoy to the last, since you might mutate or die? It says you're either going to mutate or die.
Yeah.
But in the here and now, you're safe.
Right.
So.
Right. That is a good quote, and I think I would say we agree with that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think, you know, we do have an attitude of... Well, I think we try to have fun with everything we do, and you know, it comes across as what it is, and.
But the music provides. It's not like you're just having fun and going doop 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 because there's actually some solid.
You know, we play what we think is good, but when people disagree, we're perfectly fine with that. That's their prerogative, and it doesn't upset us. And you know, we're gonna continue to try to write what we like, and it is gonna be different than what we did on the previous album because otherwise. How boring.
Why bother, yeah. We do a thing called a musical sandwich.
Okay.
And it is two of your songs as the bread, and then anything you want to play from other people in between.
Maybe we should do the filling first and then decide what would...
Whatever, hey, you know what? Whatever works for you.
I'm gonna be honest. I would choose the flavor of my bagel based on what kind of fillings
You know, that's a good point, because a salt bagel doesn't really go with the strawberry schmear very well.
No, it doesn't, but it tastes great with, you know, lox and salmon.
That's true. But that cinnamon rate, never mind. but we're not at H&H right now, so forget about it.
Yeah, exactly. Be great to put a little... I'd love to put Emily Kane by Art Brut, and I'd love to put Boys Go Home by Oxford Collapse.
Art Brut is so much fun, aren't they?
Good grounds.
Yeah. And you know, and you share a little bit of that joie de vivre with them.
Definitely.
You know, we're in a, you know, we formed a band. I mean, you just start laughing.
We actually took some of their joie de vivre. That's.
And you know what? They told me that, and they are coming back here in a couple of months, and they will be looking for it.
Yeah.
What about something from In an Airplane Over the Sea?
Yeah, that's one that I like a lot.
Dump it in there. Which song? Choose a tune.
I don't know. Maybe Holland 1945.
Nice.
Maybe something like Talking Heads, artists only.
Good.
Perhaps.
There you go. Excellent. Good. There we go.
Rosebud's the song Wildcats.
Cool.
Okay. What I'd love to do next is the first track off the new Mates of State CD. I don't know what it's called.
I do, because it's being played on my show this Sunday. I taped the show this afternoon and I played it. Great, great stuff.
I love it.
Yeah, they're fun. Yeah, yeah. They're really cool.
I love that track.
Yep.
You know what song I really like? It is you know the Monks, they had that one record, Black Monk Time, I think.
Oh yes, yes. I've played it before. Yes.
Took themselves seriously, but like had a really good time.
Yeah, had a sense of humor.
Yeah,
yes.
And I really enjoy that first track. I think it's crazy.
Absolutely.
What if we dropped into a little Mata Hoople?
You're singing my tune.
What's a good track? That? Young What's Men.
I have
young...
everything.
Okay,
done. That's
you'll know which
issue.
One it is. You'll know which one it is.
You know what we're talking about.
Okay.
Yes. Well, not all the young dudes. You're talking about the other.
Yeah.
You want all the easy one? Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Got it.
Then what about what's that Strokes song off Room on Fire that's your favorite one? The one's like, I don't wanna know.
Under Control.
Under Control next. Off Room
on Fire. Okay, there we go. It's gonna be good.
See, the thing is, we're leaving out a lot of the New York stuff that we've really loved in the last couple.
Oh, Sweat Descends by Les Sevi Fav next.
Beautiful.
The Sweat Descends by Les Sevi Fav.
All right.
And then, but the last song on the new Liars record, I think it's called The Other Side of Mount...
yes, it's great. It's great. It's great. It's great. It's great. All right.
We can't end on that because then it's going into one of our songs. That doesn't really work. Let's go from that into... What about...
But if we go from that into Can't Lose, it would make sense.
Okay, that into Can't Lose. What's the opening track?
The opening track would be...
The opening track's going into Emily Kane. Lousy or In Action or something like that.
Yeah, let's do In Action.
In Action.
In Action. Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you.